from PRX.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls and friends beyond the binary, it's time. Oh, and one other thing, you know, ladies and gentlemen, boys, girls, and friends beyond the binary, and our most important guest to you. Hey, how you doing? Welcome to Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. I almost started a regular old intro. I'm glad you're here. All right, but Scoot's here, and this is where I talk about, like, just supporting the show. So this is really only for regular listeners. If you count on Sleep With Me or you use Sleep With Me on a regular basis, you're a long-term listener. Like, does Sleep With Me do anything unique for you, right? Is it a part of your life and it's a unique way? Like, when you just discovered the show or it started helping you, you're like, wow, I had no idea this existed, but I was looking for it. And then does it provide something for you? Is it unique and does it provide something? Does it do anything for you? Like, does it help you fall asleep or take your mind off of stuff so you could fall asleep? Or does it keep you company? Does it distract you during the day? So is it unique or somewhat unique? And does it do anything for you? If the answers are yes to both of those, like, how much is that worth anything to you? How much are those things, the unique part and whatever it does for you, worth to you? But the other question is, like, if Sleep With Me went away, like, what would you be willing, like, would that change what it's worth to you? Would it change the value proposition? To get it back, oh yeah, I'd pay $50 a month, and you don't even have a tier at that level. So just think about that. But if any of that resonates with you, don't wait. We really are in a position now where for at least a time, I'm going to have to kind of really work hard to get more people involved in supporting the show. We have the listeners. It's just getting the attention of enough listeners, a small percentage of people, but people that are said, oh, okay, I'll do it now. You just go to sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus and sign up, support the show. Even if you're not sure, sign up for all the trials are 7 days, and then you could change your mind. But at least then you've done something. You said, yes, it's unique. Yes, it really means something to me. Yes, it does something for me. And no, I don't want to wait. Like, I don't want it to go away. So thanks. Think about that. sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. The other people that work hard to help you fall asleep, Carl W., the legend who edited this episode. Chris Posterson from Sounds Like an Earful Studios, who did the theme music. Jonathan Manns on the Lullaby. Scotty and Jennifer honor artwork. I'm at Dear Scooter on Twitter, and everybody, like, if I don't have a chance to thank you online in person for recommending the show or supporting the show or doing something nice for me, thank you. And I'm sorry if I've, you know, we've missed each other or something. And I want to thank you by doing the best job I can making the podcast to put you to sleep. So thanks so much. I also want to thank the listeners have their own Facebook group. They're just a listener Facebook group, and they support one another over there. I want to thank the moderators who just moderate over there in their fair time and free time. Summer and Sarah, Julie and Jennifer, Stacy, Lauren, Keith, and that is it. Let's get on with the show. Hey, are you all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep? Welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that's here to put you to sleep. We do it a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. What I'm going to attempt to do is create a safe place where you can set aside whatever's keeping you awake, whether it's things that you're thinking about. So thoughts, feelings, like either emotions that are traveling through you, or physical sensations, noises, changes in routine, travel, stormy weather, you know, that could be something like in the summer season. Whatever's keeping you awake, I'd like to take your mind off that. The safe place I'm going to try to create, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to send my voice across the deep, dark night. I'm going to use lulling, soothing, creaky, dulcet tones. Like, I won't be tuning up. I don't know. I guess, like, I'm slightly out of tune. But like, it's been that way. I guess because I'm not a musician. like I'm both undertuned. Can you, is it called overtuning and undertuning? This isn't a joke either. Like when you say, but you pluck the string and then you move, you know, whatever you do, bing, 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 and then you move it, boom, boom, boom. I mean, I know some people do that by ear and some people use a device. I mean, I would say I'm out of tune, but then I would never know. Like I could be sitting there all day, like be like, okay, now I'm overtuned. Now you're under tuned. Too taut, not taut enough. T-A-U, that's a podcasty word, taut. Also, I guess that's a good end. It, like if I wanted to talk like one of my aunt from taut, I thought I taught you how to tune this thing. I didn't realize that's a good N word for that particular voice. Anyway, so if you're new here, I've got a bunch of different techniques. No, like they're all so ineffective that I'm effective in my ineffectiveness. And I'm affectionally ineffective. That's just, that's the key to the podcast, to be honest. I try to bring some affection, some plutonic safe affection with plenty of boundary space. Because I've been there, sleepless, so I know what it's like tossing and turning. In this podcast, it doesn't work for everybody. It's a little bit different, a little bit silly. Try to make bedtime a little bit less stressful and fun. And also take the load off. If you can't sleep, I'll be here the whole time. And my affection springs from that, to be like, geez, I know what it's like lying there. And if I could relieve that at all, it's you totally my honor, because I've been there. As a kid and as an adult. So if you're new, I guess that's it. Affectionate ineffection, the Sleep With Me podcast. That doesn't make any sense. Exactly. Ineffective, affectionately ineffective, and ineffective, whatever. And I'm not even sure what invectives are, but I might have a few of those as well. But if you're new here, let me set the structure up for you. So the show opens with about 5 or 6 minutes of business, because we do that mostly at the top of the show and the credits, and that's how we keep the show free and the archives free. So essential part of listening, if you listen to more than one episode, if you're new, you know, not as important. Then we're like a few minutes into an intro, which usually the intro is around 12 minutes, to demonstrate my affectionate infectiveness, or, you know, maybe hopefully it is a little bit infective, you know, not like in the thought way. You say, okay, I can relax here. Scoots is trying to carry me off into dream. Well, I'm not actually carrying you off, like physically, like I'm more escorting you, and you can drift off across the threshold from wake to sleep whenever you're ready, or whenever you it just happens to happen. So the intro is kind of like a lot of people, some people use it while they're getting ready for bed. Some people fall asleep during it. Some people skip it. And some people listen to it during the day, or some people use it when they wake up in the middle of the night. So there's really no prescribed way to listen to this podcast. I mean, it's like, there's not a lot of shoulds around here. It's a podcast that you don't need to listen to. You only get a kind of listen. It's a podcast where I'm doing my best, but my best is affectionately ineffective. And you don't need to listen to it, but you're also under no pressure to fall asleep. That's why the shows are an hour, because I'm here to keep you company. I'm here to be your companion, your friend in the deep, dark nights. And tonight we'll be talking about Star Trek The Next Generation, the episode The Tapestry. And there's a great quote in that episode at the very end, actually, because I said, why did they call this the Tapestry? And John Lucas says it at the end. He goes, he's talking about the past, which can come up at bedtime for a lot of us. And he goes, geez, there's parts of my youth I'm not proud of. Loose threads, untidy parts of me I would like to remove. Who can't relate to that, right? I don't know if you could hear that. My hands were clasped and my wrist cracked. I was so emphasizing that point. And I'm still clasping my hands. I don't know. I'm in a hand clasping mode. But when I pulled back to Jean-Luc, but when I pulled on one of those threads, it unraveled the tapestry of my life. And I'll tell you, for me at bedtime, it does feel like there's a lot of pulling of threads, like with the different parts of me. You see, okay, I'm ready to go to bed now. And all these little, like these little strings, they start pulling themselves. They say, hey, remember that? Remember this? Why didn't you do this today? You never got that done. You never follow through on that. What about tomorrow? Oh boy, let's think about that. Don't mess that. You know, all these different, like a litany of string pulling. I like using the word litany every few, I just like that word. I don't know why, but, anyway, like where it's a lot of things tugging at your, not just your thoughts, but your feelings, and somatically for me, like my physical body almost, and that causes the tossing and turning, which causes like, well, should I try to resolve these problems? Should I just tell my brain to be quiet? Like for me, that's the rabbit hole I descend down. This podcast offers an alternative. Like, let's take a breath here and picture just a fuzzy, friendly rabbit, because, you could listen to me and follow my rabbit, like, because you hear about these rabbit dens, and I hear they have a lot of twists and turns, but they also have nice den-like areas that are nice and warm where all the rabbits can snuggle and rest. And ideally, the story and the intro both do that. Like, so I'll be talking about Star Trek coming up in a few minutes, but I'll go on a twist, I'll go on a tangent, I'll over-explain, I'll slow down, I'll talk about the dialogue. And at any point, you might say, well, I'm not going to follow Scoots any, you know, I'm going to check out this, look at all those, I wonder if I could put my head on that rabbit's side. Oh, this is nice here. Nice rabbit breath, and ideally, you don't even notice. You're listening to me. You stop thinking, or you've been distracted as you think about, like, how about, I wonder if they sell any tapestries of Jean-Luc Picard, because I would like to have one of those on my wall, especially one, or actually on the wall of my castle. That would be cool. If you had a castle, and then you have a tapestry of Jean-Luc Picard, like, that is, I don't know if that's, is that meta or ironic? I don't know, but it would be cool. You'd have it in your, like, the Great Hall. You say, yeah, this is, what's that giant tapestry on? What's Jean-Luc Picard, Enterprise, you know, to Star Trek The Next Generation? And yeah, in the Halls of Heroes, they have other tapestries of, you know, Data, Worf, Roe, Riker, Guinan, you know, all my peeps. They say, okay, interesting. And I say, yeah, I like a little bit of, like, I like to live in a castle. With tapestries from modern TV shows. So, yeah, where do you buy your tapestries? Well, I like at tapestries. That's where I usually shop. That's where I, you know, that's where I like to do most of my tapestry purchases. Anyway, I guess I got off tangent there, but I was on a tangent. But so if you're new here, that's the structure of the show. We talk about The Next Generation on Sundays. On Tuesdays, we have a bedtime story. And then Thursdays, we have like a bedtime story based on that's part of an episodic series. And this podcast is a little bit different than other bedtime stories. Bedtime stories for grownups, just my particular brand bedtime story, which is like a oddball, meandering, if ineffective, it maybe has invectives, but it's infectiously, hopefully, like the boar giggles part are like infectious, where you say, wow, like think about it, like thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people are listening to this at the same time you are. So you're not alone. And while not everybody that's listening might be dealing with the same thing you are, almost everyone that listens is struggling somehow with either getting enough sleep or getting rest or just feeling a sense of safety and quiet. So as alone as it can feel, you know, there's a lot of other people right this moment listening to my voice right now that are with you in some way. And so I don't know if that helps. I thought that was one of the words that rhymes with infective or vective. Connective. It's connective. It is. And most of those people like me can relate to how it feels. We may not know exactly what it is, but we can relate. And that's why I make this show, because I tried other stuff for me, like, you know, all the other sleep stuff. And I said, geez, why isn't there something a little bit like I'm a bit of a goofball. Why is there something like that? And I said, well, I have fun telling stories like that. Let me try it and see if I can put people to sleep. And it took a few hundred episodes, I think, to get a good groove on. But we worked our way there. And some people have been along for the whole ride. And if you're new, I'm glad you're here. You know, give the show a few tries. It doesn't work for everybody, like I said. But most of the people that write reviews say, geez, after the second or third time, you know, I was able to let down my guard and you know, it started helping me out, or made me smile, or I couldn't fall asleep, but I could listen to it, and it kept me company in the deep, dark nights. So whatever it is, like I say, almost every intro, I'm glad you're here. I work very hard. I yearn and I strive to help you fall asleep. So thanks so much for coming by. Sleep With Me is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. Support for Sleep With Me comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting your time and money with your current business software, or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/withme. That's odoo.com/withme. Odoo, modern management made simple.
All right, here we are. We're talking season 6, episode 15. It came out February 15th, 1993. And I was trying to think what I was doing. That's right around my birthday. That's why I was like, what was I doing February 13th, 1993? It was probably up to no good. I may have been in Buffalo visiting someone. And but I'm not positive. Anyway, enough about me. Let's talk about Picard and Q, a Q episode without a Q in the title. And I didn't read any articles about this episode because I don't want to spoil myself. But, you know, I guess it's more of a Picard-centric episode. But there's a lot of Q, and it's a blast from the past. And again, this episode opens mid-action, as we have a couple times every season, it seems like. They're in the med bay. Very medical procedural action, I don't know what year ER started. I don't know if that was late 90s or mid 90s or early 90s. Eric LaSalle, George Clooney, Juliana I can't say her last name. Goose from Anthony. I'm sorry, Anthony. Goose. I'm sorry to call you Goose, but. Actually, I think I also liked you in Revenge of the Nerds. So that's why Anthony Edwards, of course. Thanks, Brain. That was a TV. Here's a little factoid. George Clooney was in two shows named ER. There was also a situational comedy called ER with the subtitle It'll Leave You in Stitches. A lot of times I think these situational comedies are dreams, because the only time I saw this ER was when I would be sick home from school on reruns on, like, the Lifetime channel or some random network like WOOR or something.
or, you know, one of the, like, cable channels you'd rarely tune into. They had a couple of good situational comedies on during the day, reruns, and ER was one of them. And George Clooney was on that. It's just a fact. You can look it up. But or, you know, it could be a fugue stated. That has happened before. But, oh, boy, what an episode. Opens in action, as I said. Dr. Crusher's putting on a turquoise lab coat or doctor's coat, which is the first time I noticed that. But, I mean, you know, many things have passed me by. Everyone's in prep mode. Number four, they're coming in through the number four energizing room or whatever. What is it called? The transporter room number four. Coming in now. And they come in, Worf's cradling Picard in his arms, because he said, well, he's overtired. He was being pouty. Riker has a phaser out. Like, they come in, like, they were transported out right in mid-action with three other crew members. Again, I haven't watched these episodes continuously, so I don't know what's happened with Worf, but this is the first time I noticed he has a ponytail, which I don't think was always the case. So I assume there is a plot point that explains that I missed. They lay Picard down. They ran into some Lenarians, a bad conference, bad Lenarian conference. Compressitarians is what they were dealing with. And let's see, Compressitarian Beam. Crusher's really working hard while Picard takes a rest. And there's building music, and then the camera starts zooming from above, showing Picard lying down. Then it fades to white. And when it fades back again, it's like iridescent white, and Picard's looking around. Everything around him is white, like he's inside a cloud. And there's sort of like an iridescent figure with arms open at a distance. Very luminous, and who is it but our good friend Q, who holds out his hand for Picard to shake. And Picard takes his hand, and Q basically says, the camera, I think, he takes his hand and he pulls into Q. I don't know if the camera Picard did that. And Q says, welcome to the big farm in the sky, Jean-Luc Picard. And this is unintentional that these themed episodes keep coming up, but it just am taking recommendations. But Picard and Q, then the open episode opens, and Picard and Q are holding hands, but Picard pulls his hand back. And then I'll read through the dialogue, but his father appears and scolds him at some point. Q's iridescent look reminds me of like a character from one of the Tron movies, just the level of glow. His father again is not pleased. Then there's more and more voices. I got to say something about John Delancey's hair here. Looks gorgeous. Man, his hair looks good this episode. Probably the best head of hair I've ever seen on a member of the Continuum today. But no, really, like I said, it just struck me enough to write it down. I said, man, his hair looks great. Something ahead. Picard looks down. Q toss. Oh, okay, heart. Okay, we'll get to the dialogue. So, Picard, Q says, welcome to the big farm. And Picard says, this isn't the big, you know. And he goes, yeah. By the way, I'm your higher power. And Picard goes, no. And then Q says, blasphemy. Don't make me smite you. And he goes, you know, don't you remember with that conference they sent you? They said, go do some research on the big farm, the Tenarians or something. And Picard says, I refuse to believe the afterlife is run by you. The universe is not so badly designed. And then his dad comes by. He says, don't go off to the academy, Jean-Luc. Starfleet's not going to be any good for you. But you never listen to me anyway. You're, you know, Mr. Big Shot. And he goes, don't you know, like, I'm your internal critic. I'm trying to protect you from this kind of stuff. And Picard says, stop. And then the dad still says, you still managed to disappoint me, Jean-Luc. And then there's a bunch of building voices, as I said. And Q says, these are all the people you let down. And Picard says, what do you mean? And Q goes, you know, butterfly wings, bro. Your butterfly wings have let all these people down. Nice job. Do you want to do one apology or multiple ones? Because they're all listening. And Picard says, I'm not going to perform for your amusement. And Q goes, this moment's for you. And Picard goes, you don't do anything. You've got something, you know, he goes, for the benefit of my soul. And Q goes, well, now that you've shuffled off the mortal coil, we're going to have plenty of time to spend together. And Picard goes, oh, boy, like what? And Q goes, are you forever? Are you sure you don't have any regrets? And Picard goes, yeah, regret being here with you. And, you know, Q plays faux dramatic, you know, oh, John, Luke, you hurt my feelings. And again, I haven't seen all these episodes, so I didn't know Picard has an artificial heart. You know, I thought he had a heart of gold, but he has an artificial heart. And Q's like, that malfunctioned, unreliable technology. And Q goes, I never heard the story of what, you know, what's up with this thing. And Picard was like, mistake I made when I was a kid. And then we, let's see, let me get back to this. Yeah, when he throws the heart, tosses the artificial heart to Picard. Picard looks down when he brings it up. And he says, I regret a great many things, really. Then we see young Picard kind of, like when he loses his heart, like it's with a Nausicaan. Like Princess Nausicaa. I don't know if it's the same thing, but he loses his heart. He laughs when his feelings are, when he's sad about his heart from Cupid, you know, who took it. Because Cupid says, I'm from Nausicaa. We're taking, you know, this is figurative, not really, but, and you see the younger Picard, there's like an actor playing a younger Picard, dashing his H-E-C-K. And as he's lying there, Picard kneels down and looks at his younger self, and he goes, geez, I wonder if I could do things differently. And Q goes, well, maybe what if I, and Picard goes, yeah, it's really a different person, arrogant, undisciplined, and too much ego, too little wisdom, a bit like you, Q. And Q goes, yeah, it sounds way more interesting. Pity you had to change. And Q goes, if you had to do it all over again, Picard goes, things would be different. And then next thing you know, Picard's in, let's see, how does this transfer happen? I think Picard, like, holds his hand to his face, then he's in a room with a woman who's just kind of rejected him. And he's holding his hand to his face, and the camera zooms in on him, and then they cut to commercial. And then when they come back, there's two blue thermoses on one of the tables. That's the first thing I noticed when they came back. Picard's hand is on his face. As a woman walks off, his two roommates or best friends clap, a male and a female. I liked his roommate has like a Starfleet belt buckle. So sweet. It looks like a giant A almost. His male roommate, really cool. And Picard's so happy. He's like tickled pink. And he talks to his roommates. They're like, what has happened? He goes, oh no, more trouble in romance. He can't believe it. They call him Johnny. And Picard is very, he goes, Marta Batiandes or whatever. He says, and she goes, are you okay? He goes, well, just I'm a little out of it. And Corey, that's the other dude's name. He goes, Johnny just wants your sympathy. He goes, we're going to go to the casino. You want to come? And Picard says, I'll catch up. And then Marta says, are you okay? He goes, And then Corey says, he's got another date maybe. And she goes, you're incorrigible. And then Q appears. He's holding like a pointer. Or is it a stick? He's very curious about Picard's dating life. Picard's 21 years old at this. Picard looks at himself in the mirror. He's a regular, the Jean-Luc we know. But I guess he's 21 years old. Then Q sits down at like a chess-like game that's made from crystals. And they kind of talk about history because Picard says, geez, I don't want to mess up history. Don't you know all the rules? And he goes, I can't change the past. You know, it'll change the future. And Picard goes, your ego is out of control. He goes, you're not that important. And Picard goes, I'm not going to alter history. And Q goes, well, I promise you won't alter history. How's that sound? Nothing you do will alter history. And he goes, you know where you are? And he goes, Starbase Earhart. I guess Amelia Earhart. He goes, this is where we're waiting for our assignments. And Q goes, Q says, yeah, that's what this is, when you and the Nausicaans run across each other. Do you think you're going to change things? Oh, when he said he called Picard's ego out, he used his pointer to sweep off the chessboard. He goes, very well. Like when Picard says, I won't alter history. Also, 1305, Q's face as he says, of course, just at a later time. Because Picard says, do you think I'm going to go on to the big farm, or will that stop that? And he says, of course, just at a later time. Then Picard starts asking, or Q starts asking Picard about his dating life, which was funny. And then Picard's like, geez, I'm waiting. He goes, what time is it? It is 1611, which is 4:11, I believe. And Picard's late for a date. I said, he makes dates at 4:11 or 4 p.m., which really throws me off. And then he's at a bar. I couldn't tell the age range here. Really all was throwing me off. But he's at the bar with a woman named Penny, who looks like she's much older than 21. Like maybe, I don't know, 28 or 30 or something. And it also just seemed like, is this a date or a professional visit? And she has very long earrings on. And Picard's like, aren't we going to get down to the kissing business? And Picard goes, well, I feel contemplative. And she goes, well, that's not why I'm here. I'm here, and he goes, well, I'm interested. And she goes, well, I'm from Rigo. My last name's Morak, and I like men in uniform, and I'm done talking. And then she goes in for a kiss. And then she goes, what am I, not, like, were you drunk last night or something? And Picard says, you're a very handsome woman. She goes, is that what you say to older women? And he goes, you don't look like an older woman. And then she throws a drink in his face because she says, geez, skip whatever. And Q's behind the bar, like cleaning a cup, and he throws the rag at Picard. And he says, puerile, which we learned before. We talked about that before, but whatever. And then there's like a Dom Jot game going on, which is kind of like a somewhere between snooker and pool. And they're getting a lot of cheers, and or bumper pool, maybe two. And Picard's buddy, Corey, is kind of doing his best Color of Money. I don't know if Color of Money had come out yet. I think it had. He's doing his best Color of Money, Tom Cruise impression. And then I really like the Nausicaans talk. They go, play Dom Jot Human. They're very, like high in testosterone style. But they're egging Corey on to play them in Dom Jot, and then it zooms into Picard. They go to the commercial, and then we see his buddy Corey has taken a bet with the Nausicaans, and Picard tries to talk him out of it. He goes, "This isn't it. Nausicaans are jerks. You know, you don't really want to play. You don't want to play them." And let's see. Then we see Q in the background. He's lounging against a barrel and watching. And Picard kind of lays out what's going to happen. I forgot when he's with Penny, Q says, Penny, for your thoughts. I forgot about that pun. But Picard basically says, geez, Corey's going to lose, and he's going to they're cheating, and then he's going to cheat them back, and that's why all this trouble starts. And he goes, and so I didn't take the sensible side. I took my friend's side. And Q goes, that's a beautiful story. Get you right here. And he taps his heart, you know. Another pun. A lot of puns in this with Q. And then the Dom Jot game's getting really intense. And Corey loses because the Nausicaan says Dom Jot. When you win, I guess you say Dom Jot. Human. Human play Dom Jot. He says that again. And then we go back to the dorm room, or their, you know, I guess it's more of a a barracks room, very nice, more like a dorm room. And Corey tries to do like a little bit of a, like a little bit Han Solo here or something. Cause he says, I played a lot of Dom Jot in a lot of places and I've never seen the balls roll that well for anyone. Just reminded me of a line from something, but I wasn't sure what. And Corey goes, I'm going to cheat back. And Picard goes, no, 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 you can't do that. No way. And Picard says, no way. Then Marta intervenes. Picard seems a little down maybe, but then there's love in the air. Like between, you can see like Corey leaves, he storms off. Because he's like, you're not going to help me cheat. And Picard goes, no, we're officers now. We got to start acting like it. And even, yeah, that's when Marta like is like, don't worry about it. So he storms off and they just share a moment looking at each other. And Picard goes, what's wrong? And she goes, well, usually you'd be the one up to no good. And Picard goes, yeah. And she goes, I always thought you were a hidden responsibility. And they go back and forth, you know, geez, maybe I'm getting older. She says, maybe it's these bars, you know, that are feeling heavy. Ensign Picard and Ensign Batandis. Sounds weird. And she goes, Jesus, too bad we couldn't get used to this new life together. And she goes, I mean, the three of us, Corey, too, totally. And then there's a moment, I guess, did I write down the timestamp for this? Because it is hilarious. I didn't. But I'll tell you it in a minute. It's coming up on the one that's playing. But the doorbell rings and Q comes in and he goes, and my daughter's still saying this. She goes, is there John? Look, Picard here. And he totally kills the moment, you know, because it was definitely getting romantic. And this is very 80s rom-com. Like we had Some Kind of Wonderful, Pretty in Pink. What's the one with the guy, McDreamy or whatever, McSteamy, one of those, what's that, Dream a Little Dream, is that the one he's in? The one with, what's that one with that, Reese Witherspoon's in one, I think. So there's a lot of these, like, rom-cons that are based on, what is it, Pygmalion, I think is the original. I mean, this is a little different. This is when you're in love with your best friend and you just got to notice him. But so Q comes in as a flower delivery person, ruins the moment. He's got like a great outfit on, like a red bow tie, and he plays Cupid, which, what does that mean? Let me check the, I just want to get to the right timestamp for you here. It's about 20... It's a 22:34. He even dances kind of inside to side. Really funny. A great, great, great moment. Please, Cupid. Let's see. So, oh yeah, he goes, geez, I didn't interrupt anything sordid, did I? And Picard goes, no. And Q goes, pity, she's quite attractive. And Picard goes, we're only friends. And Q goes, is that a regret from our youth, I hear? And Picard goes, my friendship isn't a regret. And he goes, no, 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 no. You know what I mean. More than friends, like a kissy kissy. He goes, maybe you could change that. I'm like, Q, are you living vicariously through Jean-Luc? And Picard goes, what do you want? And Picard goes, your buddy, Corey's messing with the table. He's cheating anyway. So he tattletales on him. Then we see Picard, Johnny rolls up behind him. He goes, I got to stop you. And Corey's not happy about it. And they go back and forth. And Picard actually puts a hand on his shoulder. He goes, this is no joke. You're not cheating. I'll tell on you if I have to. And Corey says, have it your way, Ensign Picard. He's really not happy. And then there's music, you know, to underscore that. Then we're back in the dorm room. Picard's pacing, Marta's on her bed, she's kind of in her, like, not in her uniform anymore, like, in her hangout clothes, like, so this is, again, I think this is a little bit of an 80s rom-com. I think it particularly, like, Some Kind of Wonderful, I don't really even know if I even saw that. I think that was, like, the best friend that I had the biggest crush on, and, like, I think, I always thought Eric Stoltz was pretty cool, too. And I think that had the biggest hit song, maybe. Maybe not, though. Maybe they're unrelated. And which one was, which one, again, I just said this 5 minutes ago. And I guess it doesn't matter. Okay, where were we? Where were we here? Okay, so yeah, okay. Also a couple things. So she's sitting on the bed, Marta. Picard's pacing, worrying about Corey. We get a couple of cool shots out their window where there's like a set or a painting, like a matte painting with a giant building and some sort of station and lights. Really looked good. I mean, it just added a little bit, like I mean, it was, unless the building was like very vault-like, it just made me curious. But they're talking, and then they, like, they see, Picard sits on her bed, they're talking next to each other, and they have, like, full constant eye contact and big smiles. And they both have beautiful eyes. I noticed, I guess that's the only way to say it. Both both characters, or both actor and actress, have beautiful, beautiful eyes, very different colors. But both in the blue, gray, maybe not. Let me like check John Luke's eyes. Marta's eyes are very like gray, blue, and beautiful. I guess John Luke are more of a gray, green, or maybe I don't know. I'm watching right now. It's on my phone, so I can't see right as good. Also, for TP fans, Marta's rocking a little bit of an Audrey Horne style. You know, pre. I guess it was the same time period. Like, she has a Audrey Horne style look to her, which to me is kind of like a 1950s femme fatale. A little bit, not in the character, just in, I don't, never mind. I'm digging myself a hole of, but they're lacking eye contact, and you could tell they're greatly attracted to one another. And they, like, she says, geez, you're so much more mature. It's very attractive. And she goes, have you ever thought about us getting together? And they gulp, like there's a big gulp. And Picard says, yeah, I've thought about it for a long time. And she goes, why didn't you ever say so? And Picard goes, I don't know. At this moment, I don't, he says, and then they just start kissing. And because this is grown-up business, they skipped the grown-up business part, but it goes straight to the grown-up business. I was watching this with my daughter, too. So I was gulping, wondering what was going to happen next. And when Picard says, I don't know, at this moment, he was almost whispering. I put Make Out City double exclamation point. Then it's the next morning, Picard's in a bed, and there's another person that reaches over to, like, rub his ear, and it's Q. And it's just a great reveal. Very fun. And there's also on the headboard of her bed, Marta's bed, is, like, this prism sculpture thing that I really liked a lot. And Picard kind of rolls over. He's shirtless to look at Marta, and it's Q. After tickling his ear, he's got a big smile on. He pulls his sheets up over his chest, and then he finally lowers his blanket once he starts to feel comfortable. Because Q goes, geez, what's going on? You feeling guilty? You feeling good? He goes, no, I'm feeling fine. And Q goes, are you sure? And he goes, yeah, we're just friends, nothing more. Picard goes, don't worry about it. And Q goes, really, you're just friends, And Q goes, well, what's up next? And Picard goes, well, things are going to be different now. And Q goes, oh, I'm sure about that. And then he vanishes. And then, let's see, lowers the blanket. I don't know. They totally share a moment, it seemed like, with that. Then Picard walks into, like, the bar again. The bar's very dungeon-like, I noticed. And he tries to kiss Marta on the forehead, and she's having some second thoughts. She's also eating some sort of potatoes or space eggs, and drinking out of like a tin cup. Almost at first, I thought it was a tankard. I don't know if it's some sort of tableside barbecue for breakfast, but Picard tries to take her hand, or he does take her hand. And she says, she's like, yeah, I kind of think it was a bad idea. And Picard goes, I don't think so. And she goes, well, we're friends, and now our friendship's messed up. And Picard goes, maybe you shouldn't think about it. And she goes, well, I wish I could, and we're separating tomorrow and going on our assignments. It would have been way easier if I didn't have to think about this. But these are predicaments we just naturally seem to put ourselves in as human beings. And Picard goes, geez, I wish I didn't, he feels uncomfortable. He feels uncomfortable making her uncomfortable. And he goes, maybe one of us should skip the party, the end of the goodbye party. And she goes, no, we planned it. I'll be there. And then she leaves, and then Q shows up again. Marta's very, she had like tears in her eyes. Picard was very stoic. But what's hilarious is after Marta leaves, you see over Picard's shoulder, Q's sitting at another table. He's in like a maroon, like a velour suit with a gray, like fur vest. And he's eating like endive or something, like a rabbit. He's eating like a leafy green from the stem, just like a rabbit would. He takes a big bite of it. And then we cut to the goodbye party. It's just Corey, Marta, and Jean-Luc. Q also says, geez, you managed to alienate your friends. You're doing really great. Try not to lose your heart. It seems like you might have already. But we see the goodbye party is very glum and awkward. And they're back at the same table where the same potatoes, I think, are cooking. The Nausicaans roll in. They say, play Damjad Uhuman. We'll give you a bigger stick. And they say, no, Picard goes, no, not going to be any of that. And the Nausicaan says they're Undari, cowards. And Corey doesn't like that. And then they say, you have no Grumba. And Corey's like, why don't we find out? And Picard goes, no. Let's just make peace here. And then they say something about Marta. And Picard, pushes Corey out of the way. And Corey can't believe it. He goes, I don't know who you are anymore, but you're not my friend. And then Marta says, she goes, goodbye, Johnny. And they leave. And then Q's standing there, and he goes, congratulations, you did it, mon capitan. You did it. And then we see the Enterprise, and we're on the bridge, and Worf is talking. Picard's in a green suit. He goes, can I help you, Mr. Picard? Mr. Picard, note. And Data's looking on in the background. It's Picard's mixed up. He goes, Mr. Worf, and he has like a iPad, and Worf looks at it, goes, this is for Commander LaForge. And Picard's like, what? And Worf goes, is there something wrong? And he goes, I'm not sure. Picard says, I'm not sure. What's my rank? And Worf goes, Lieutenant Junior Grade, Assistant Astrophysics Officer. And Data's very concerned. He goes, geez, are you feeling all right? And Picard goes, who's the captain of the ship? He goes, Thomas Holloway, which sounds familiar. So I definitely don't know who that is, but I do. And Data goes, maybe I should take you down to sick bay. And Picard goes, no, I can find my way down there myself. And Picard walks into med bay, goes, Beverly, you're not going to believe this. And then who's sitting at Beverly's desk but Q? And he says, well, in like a fake German accent. What seems to be the trouble, Lieutenant Picard? And Q's in a doctor's outfit. He even has the round thing that doctors wear on their heads, Bugs Bunny used to, with the strap. He's carrying a report. Oh, no, this is later. What does that mean, carrying report? Yeah, but Picard says, what have you done? He goes, what you wanted. You're back at the present. You changed the past for you. You changed your past, who you were as a youth, and now you're the man you are today. You should be happy. You got a real heart, and you can live out the rest of your life in safety, running tests and making analysis and giving reports to your superiors. And then he disappears, and Picard has like a great, he sighs or breathes and has this great feeling of regret and awkwardness. Then there's an ad. Then Picard walks into 10 forward, and Riker and Troy are drinking some amber liquid together. And Picard really looks awkward. I really enjoyed how out of sorts he kind of looks. And then he sits down and he goes, I'd like to tell you about my future. And it, even this is great acting. Troy's like, well, maybe I should go. He goes, no, I want to hear your thoughts too. And he goes, I want you to be straightforward with me. How do you think I am as an officer? And they kind of look at each other and they're like, And Troy says, well, geez, you get good reports. You're thorough and dedicated. And Riker says, steady, reliable. They're really at a loss. Punctual. And Picard's like, punctual, oh, great. And Picard goes, what if I had bigger plans? You know, what advice do you think I could be, I could move up the ladder? And Riker goes, this is probably not the best place to talk about this. And Picard goes, well, I'd like to talk about it right now. He goes, I'd like to, you know, change over. You know, I'd like to learn to engineering or security and go all the way to command. And Riker goes, frankly, it's not realistic, bro. And he goes, why? He goes, and then Troy goes, this isn't the place to discuss this. And Picard goes, well, it's important. I believe I can do more. And then Troy gets real with him. She goes, that's your problem all along. You have these lofty goals, but you've never been willing to take the risks to attain them. And Riker says, Riker, what do you think? He goes, yeah, I have to agree. He goes, you got to take chances, man. And also, I really liked Troy's shirt, her one, like it had a, she was wearing gray, but it had this purple V around the neck, and the material looked nice. It really, like, it was striking, and they're like, maybe we could talk about this another time. It just goes back and forth, a lot of awkward looks, and then they get called, like, also on the table is like a clock radio. But then they get called for a senior officers meeting. Picard almost gets off or gets up. Yeah, there's like a pyramid clock radio on the table. And then Picard's on the lift because Geordi calls him. He's like, dude, where's that report, bro? You got to get down here. And he's on the lift alone, go to main engineering. He's looking very sad and frustrated. And he says, you really got me, Q. You think you're going to make me live out the rest of my life as a dreary man and a tedious job? You win. And the lift opens, and there's the spiritual Q with his hands on his hips, all iridescent. He goes, I gave you a second chance, and now all you do is complain. And Picard goes, I can't live out, like, I can't be that person bereft of passion and no imagination. It's not me. And right, or Q goes, au contraire. That's who you wanted to be. You wanted to take away the arrogance of youth and be less like Q. And he goes, you wanted to, you know, not deal with the Nausicaan. And he goes, so that's the Picard that we see now. No brush with Nausicaans, real heart. Didn't realize how fragile things were. Or how important every moment is. Never put his life in focus. He drifted around. You know, so this is like the life lesson part of the episode. You know, drift around. You know, didn't deal with the Malika IV, save the ambassadors. Or, you know, take over the Stargazer Bridge. He goes, and no one offered him a command ever. Because he played it safe. And Q's like kind of right up in his face when he says that. He goes, never noticed by anyone. And Picard goes, geez, you're right, Q. You gave me a chance to change, and I took it. But it was a mistake. Made a mistake. And Q is walking away, and then he turns around, and he goes, are you asking me for something, Jean-Luc? He goes, yeah, give me, put me back. I want to go one more time back in. And Q goes, well, you know, it's a risk. And Picard goes, well, I'd rather be at the big farm as the man I was than be live that life. And so then we, and Q is very Tron-like, very serious looks. Then they go back to the bar on No Gramba. And Picard goes postal. And there's like an 80s action scene, 80s action bar scene with Marta and Corey and Jean-Luc, and the Nausicaans doing all sorts of, you know, action moves. lots of, my daughter says, lots of stage things. She liked it. She said, this is awesome. But she's a kid. She doesn't watch very much action movies. Picard something. Oh, Picard laughs again. He's like as he, because Cupid shows up and says, oh, let me take your love away. And we go back, as he's laughing, we go back to an overhead shot at the med bay, and Picard is laughing, lying, taking a nap in the med bay, smiling. Riker's there. He has a Harry Potter-like scar on his forehead, which was interesting. And they say, Jean-Luc, you're back. He goes, oh, yeah, I'm here. So good to be back. And they said, you're going to be okay. And then we go to the close episode, and Picard and Riker are having a heart-to-heart. Picard's touching all his fingertips together. And they go, Picard goes, I don't know if it was a dream or what. And Riker cues tricks. And Riker goes, oh, you know, you never know. When you're near the big farm, there's strange things happen. But it's pretty detailed. And Picard's like, I can't believe Q would give me a second chance or be compassionate. So if it was Q, I owe him an apology or a debt of gratitude. And Riker says, in what sense? And Picard goes, well, he goes, there's many parts of my youth I'm not proud of. And he goes, those were loose threads, untidy parts of me that I wanted to remove. But when I pulled on those threads, it unraveled the tapestry of my life. And we get the opening, the closing. It gives us the, and then Riker cracks up, though, because he says, I can't believe young Jean-Luc messing with Nausicaans. He goes, I would have liked to hang with that Jean-Luc. And Picard starts telling old stories. He goes, oh, that wasn't the first Nausican trouble I had, bro. He goes, let me tell you about my sophomore year when I was on Morkin 5 or 6. He goes, there was a Nausican, and he goes, outlying asteroids. Oh, he goes, sit back, Riker. But yeah, so they, like, the close gives us the title and like the kind of meaning of the episode, and it comes to an end. A very good episode, and it had some nice moments. I really enjoyed it, and I hope you did too. Good night. All right, I want to thank everybody that reviewed the show over on Apple Podcasts. I want to thank Justin TH from the U.S. Full of yes. This podcast is a soporific, however you say that word, sleepy. It delivers on the promise to gentle, put you to sleep every freaking night. Thank you. Well, thanks, Justin. How about Arbraith? Can't sleep. This podcast is the best way to beat stress, anxiety in the world. At last, he, when trying to get some good sleep and recharge, listen every night, and it's changed the quality of rest I get. Please try. Thank you. How about this one? Zimbalina, 13. Lucky number 13. Little Zimbalina. The Zimbal that danced. So soothing. I fall asleep every time I listen to this podcast. I haven't made it through a total episode. His voice is so soothing. I love listening to him talk. Well, thank you. Here's another funny one. Quaalude76 from Ireland. Can't help but nod off. Love this podcast. Knocks me out cold every time. Even 4 a.m. Plagued with thoughts. Wide awake. Slap it on. Put your phone on for 20 minutes and that's it. Snoozy time. And how about AF 1212? Perfect. I feel hypnotized every time I listen. Amazing. Thank you. Thank you. So thanks to everyone who reviewed the show on Apple Podcasts, over on YouTube. Thanks to everybody that is checking out those long episodes on YouTube. Sherry, thanks. Lizzie, Dashter, thank you. Justin C., Jason C, Ty D, thank you and good night. Cupid, thank you and good night. Andrea W, thanks and good night. C Steele, thank you and good night. Nora R, thank you and good night. GA, thanks and good night. Susan K, thanks and good night. C Roy, thank you and good night. Pretty N, thanks and good night. Cupid, again, thanks and good night. T War. Popcorn, thanks. Brooke, thank you. Osa, thank you. Adriana, thank you. Lisa, thanks. Stacy, thank you. Ralthon, thanks. Chrissy K, thank you. David D, thanks. Little Masha, thanks. Ann P, Thank you, CEO. Thanks, Teresa. Thanks a lot, Chloe. Thanks, Allie, Charlie. Thanks and good night. Legendary, thanks. Idol, thank you. Joshua N, thanks. Navy, thank you. Tracy B, thanks. Billy with an IE, thank you. Bolts, Bob, thanks and good night. Oh, Bob didn't like it, actually. Gabby, thank you. Free G, thank you. Boris, thanks. Alone, thank you. Tori, thanks. Stephanie, Murphy, Mel, thank you. Anime, thank you. Sophia, thanks. Thanks and good night, everybody, for the support. Good night.
Support for Sleep With Me comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting your time and money with your current business software, or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/withme. That's odoo.com/withme. Odoo, modern management made simple.
All right, everybody, this is Scoots. I'm talking about tonight's sponsor, Helix Sleep. You could take that Helix Sleep quiz at helixsleep.com/sleep. I'm just about to hit my 4-year anniversary sleeping in my Helix Dusk Lux. And I took that Helix quiz. You know, I sleep on my side. I sleep on my stomach. I toss. I turn. I don't want to overheat at night. And when I took the quiz, that was the mattress it matched me with. The Helix Dusk, I chose the Helix Dusk Lux. Because Helix has like 20 unique mattresses. They've got an award-winning Lux collection, the Helix Elite collection, which is new, a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, even a mattress made just for kids. And the way you'll know the Helix mattress works best for you and your body is to take that Helix sleep quiz at helixsleep.com/sleep. You'll find your perfect mattress in under 2 minutes. That personalized mattress will be shipped straight to your door free of charge. And Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new Helix mattress. Everybody's unique. Everybody sleeps differently. That's why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from, each designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. There's models with memory foam layers to provide optimal pressure relief if you sleep on your side, models with a more responsive foam to cradle your body for essential support in stomach and back sleeping positions. Plus, there's enhanced cooling features for people like me, keep us from overheating at night. If your spine needs an extra TLC, they got you. Every Helix mattress has a hybrid design combining comfort and support. I took the Helix sleep quiz. Like I said, I got matched with the Helix Dusk. I wanted something with the right firmness that I could sleep on my stomach, my side, even my back. And they kept me from overheating. And it fits the bill. And not only is it the best mattress I've slept on, the setup was fast and easy. Helix mattresses are delivered in a box straight to your door for free. Plus, all Helix mattresses come with a 10 to 15-year warranty, depending on the model. And if you don't want to take my word for it, Helix has been awarded the number one mattress pick by GQ and Wired magazine. It's even recommended by multiple leading chiropractors and doctors. The sleep medicine is a go-to solution for improving your sleep. And Helix is offering 20% off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/sleep and use the code HELIXPARTNER20. That's HELIXPARTNER20, one word. This is the best offer yet, and it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now.